File 1.
How to make anyone fall in love with you. Written and told by Leal Lowndes. You smiled, perhaps cynically, when you saw the title of this tape, How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. That's a mighty big promise, you said. Indeed it is. But the promise of the title is yours. If you are willing to follow a scientifically sound plan to capture the heart of the man or woman you choose. Why, when history is strewn with broken hearts, do we now claim the means to make someone fall in love with us? Because, after centuries of resistance, science is finally unraveling what romantic love actually is, what triggers it, what kills it, and what makes it last. In the darkened Broadway theater in 1950, the audiences of South Pacific were in total harmony with Ezio Pinza when he pondered, "Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons. Wise men never try." Well, recently, many wise men and women have tried and succeeded. Don't blame Rodgers and Hammerstein. When they were composing romantic musicals, the scientific community was as perplexed about love as Nellie and Emile Debeck singing their bewilderment about some enchanted evening. Just as African tribesmen saw the eclipse and thought it was black magic, we looked at love and thought it was enchanted. But as we enter the 21st century, we are discovering that love is a definable and calculable blend of chemistry, biology, and psychology. And, well, maybe a little black magic thrown in. As science sets sail in previously unknown seas, we are at last beginning to understand the rudiments of that, quote, most insane, most elusive, and most transient of passions, as George Bernard Shaw described love, and what makes people want to stay in that excited, abnormal, and exhausting condition continuously until death do them part. Long before the days of Sigmund Freud, analytical scientific minds agreed that love was basic to the human experience. But their rational brains also deemed that evaluating, classifying, and defining romantic love was impossible. Therefore, it was a waste of time and money. Freud went to his deathbed declaring, "We really know very little about love." His dying words remained the scientific doctrine. At least until the early 1970s, when a pioneer-spirited band of social psychologists took up the scientists' constant cry of why and how, they began asking themselves and everybody they could lure into their laboratories questions about love. It all started with two women psychologists who managed to wangle an $84,000 federal grant to study romantic love. They convinced the National Science Foundation to open their coffers by declaring, "We already understand the mating habits of the stickleback fish. It's time to turn to a new species." Their study, like others before, might have gone unnoticed. But, fortunately for love seekers everywhere, one morning on Capitol Hill, former United States Senator William Proxmire of Wisconsin was going through his papers. Buried deep in the pile was the NSF's frivolous grant to two women to study relationships. Proxmire hit the dome. $84,000 to study what? He dashed off an explosive press release announcing that romantic love was not a science. And furthermore, he roared, "National Science Foundation, get out of the love racket. Leave that to Elizabeth Barrett Browning and Irving Berlin." Proxmire then added a personal note. "I'm also against it because I don't want the answer." He assumed everyone felt the same. How wrong he was. His reaction set off an international firestorm that raged around Burscheid for the next 2 years. "Extra, extra, read all about it. National Science Foundation tackles love." Newspapers had a field day. Cameras and microphones zeroed in on Burscheid with gusto. The quiet researcher's office was swamped with mail. Proxmire's potshot at love had backfired. Instead of putting an end to the frivolous pursuit, His brouhaha generated tempestuous interest in the study of love. James Reston of the New York Times conceded that if they can, quote, find the answer to our pattern of romantic love, marriage, disillusions, divorce, and the children left behind, it will be the best investment of federal money since Jefferson made the Louisiana Purchase. And ever since, there has been a torrent of studies scrutinizing every aspect of love. Recent science has given us a yet unopened gift, a gift we will unwrap now. The result of their labors, their studies, teach us, although that was not their purpose, how to make someone fall in love. Granted, some of their studies don't guide us directly to that goal, but to find the relevant studies, I combed through hundreds of scientific probings with cumbersome titles such as The Implications of Exchange Orientation on the Dyadic Functioning of Heterosexual Cohabitors. Huh? Some had mice listening to classical music and then jazz and blues to see which made them hornier. Happily, many of the studies bore tastier and more practical fruit. Especially helpful were the studies by an intrepid researcher named Timothy Perper, Ph.D., who spent many hours observing subjects in his favorite laboratory, called a singles bar. There were even courageous, if relatively unknown, researchers like a Carol Roni, who actually took a job as a table dancer in a topless bar to record what facial expressions turn men on. My own first-hand research, although less daring, was no less vigorous. For more than 10 years before becoming a communications trainer, I was director of a research group I founded called The Project, a New York City-based, not-for-profit corporation established to explore sexuality and relationships. During my tenure with the project, I interviewed and cataloged thousands of subjects on what they sought in a partner. We even had sessions where people dramatized their own erotic fantasies on stage. No nudity or explicit language, of course. The performance was followed by group discussions guided by guest therapists and counselors. The project, like the work of researcher Ellen Burscheid, experienced an unsought avalanche of publicity which brought it to national attention. A Time magazine reporter attended one of our sessions and wrote a full-page article declaring, "Sex fantasy goes to Broadway," which indeed it did. This in turn spawned network television coverage and dozens of articles in respected mainstream publications in America and Europe. As a result, people from all over the world called us or sent us their stories, their fantasies, their longings for love. We listened and read gratefully as we gathered data on what made, or would make, people fall in love. Let us leave the world of sexuality for a brief moment. Come with me to my second discipline, the field of communications, because it is here I take the findings and turn them into workable techniques to make someone fall in love with you. It has been proven, beyond any doubt, there are ways to induce desired behavior from people. If there were not, all psychologists and thousands of corporate trainers, myself included, would be out of business. There are established methods for invoking emotions and for changing people's behavior. For example, we have techniques to deal with difficult people, or techniques to make troublesome employees respond in the desired way. We accomplish this complex task by first understanding people's basic needs and motivations, then by employing the right verbal and nonverbal skills to modify their behavior. In this case, I give you the right verbal and nonverbal skills to make someone fall in love. Before sharing this information, however, I needed to see if these techniques would really work in the field. So, several years ago, to test my theories, I created a seminar with the same title as my book, How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. Invitations flowed in from all over the country. And the feedback from my students is, yes, you can make someone fall in love with you. Is it a simple task? No. Does it require sacrifice? Yes. You may decide, after listening to this tape, that capturing his or her heart is simply not worth having to give up that much of yourself. But if you do want to proceed, follow me. We will explore the skills needed to accomplish the task, to make the potential love partner of your choice fall in love with you. You notice that I use the words potential love partner. I will do so throughout the tape, because although it is bulkier, the phrase is more accurate than, quote, anyone, which my publisher wisely decided is more readable. Who are your potential love partners? First, a potential love partner, or PLP, is anyone who is ready for love. Timing, if not everything, at least counts. For example, if someone has just lost a beloved spouse, he or she may not be ready for love. That knocks him or her, temporarily, out of the PLP category. And second, a potential love partner is anyone free of esoteric psychological or love map needs. These are needs that through no fault of your own you can't fulfill. We'll talk a lot about love maps later. That leaves many potential love partners a myriad of hearts to choose from. Now, let us step onto the path that leads you to the heart of the man or woman you desire.